We're here in the Arbiter's offices in Tralee, and I'm delighted to say that we have Tommy Walsh, of course, of Arbiter's with me here in studio. Tommy, good morning to you, and thanks so much for inviting us here, really, to talk about these magnificent new offices in Central Tralee. Tell me a bit, I suppose, first of all, about the journey you've been on and the regeneration of this building right in the heart of Tralee.
Good morning, Gerry. Thanks very much for having me, first of all, and for making the effort to come across to the offices today. I suppose you mentioned that there, Arbiter's has been on a bit of a journey for the past probably 2 to 3 years. Today is probably just a recognition of that. We originally set up in Tralee in 2019. We've been kind of growing organically since then, and that, you know, there was COVID and all that came into it, that probably unsettled the plans a little bit. But, yeah. You know, over the past 2 to 3 years, it really has gone from strength to strength. And thankfully, in the past 6 to 7 months, we've been able to move into our new office. And you can see it's a fabulous space. And we were located on Denny Street across a couple of buildings. And to bring everyone in under one roof is you know, been a huge success for us. So
yeah,
and today is just a celebration of that.
So this is the former Guinness building, and it's the new Arbiter's HQ here in Kerry. Like it's I suppose a commitment to keeping employment in the town centre, which is important.
Absolutely, and you know, we had been looking at a couple of places, and you know, as you can see outside, it's a great space, and you know, it probably would have been easy for us to move outside town, but we really wanted to stay within the town. You know, myself, Mike Stack, are born and bred in Tralee, so we were keen to do that. And again, it's great to see now. It's great to see the people coming in every morning, going out, you know, buying their coffees and lunches and all that. Now, you know, we feel it's important for the town for people to try and stay within the town centre, and that certainly was a big part of our decision making when we came here.
Yeah. No, you've also expanded across the county. The recent merger, of course, of Apache and Solicitors in Killarney as well, and you're growing, I suppose, that level of professional employment services or professional services employment in the county.
Yeah, as I said, we were growing organically for probably 2 years, but the next phase of that was probably through a merger of similar to what we have done with Pat. And you know, we were probably talking to Pat, you know, maybe 6-7 months ago. We had to jump through a few hoops to get it over the line. But, you know, thankfully we're in the position now where it started, effective from the 1st of November. So, you know, Pat is a really solid guy. He's a good team with him. So we're absolutely delighted that he's able to merge in with us.
Yeah, and you work in the areas of tax, law and human resources. You provide those services for all sorts of clients at every level.
Yeah, it's multidisciplinary. I suppose primarily it's a legal firm. You know, you're covering your commercial transactions, commercial property, litigation, employment law. There's private client element to it. Your conveyancing, probate, wills. We've the tax element also. You know, your all aspects of tax, really, compliance, succession, corporate structuring, retirement planning, and then just recently we added the HR wing as well. It was something that was coming up a lot. We felt that we were, you know, people were probably looking elsewhere for it, and we were lucky that Jennifer O'Brien joined us, who's highly experienced, and that's another service offering that we have now.
Yeah, things are getting more complex, I take it, for companies, whatever size you are, in terms of the regulation, the regulatory space, the advice you need. You have to be, I suppose, flexible and dynamic if you want to take advantage of things and not be held up. So that's where ye come in, I imagine.
Absolutely. And it's, I suppose, the goal is that we can, you know, almost like a one-stop shop as such, that when you come in, you are being facilitated or getting the requirements that you need from your professional advisors. And that's what we're aiming to achieve. And, you know, we've a good base of clients now. And, you know, we feel that we're providing a quality service to them. But again, it's about expansion, it's about growing and increasing our own offering and increasing our client bank as well.
And you're then, I suppose, an employer for that level of person, the people we see in here for those jobs. Before, you would have thought, unless you're working for maybe, I don't know, small local mm-hmm. office, that you'd have to go to Cork or Dublin or London to get a career. But now you can have these level of careers in a bigger setting in Tralee.
Absolutely, and that with the recruitment drive that we've been on, that's what we're finding. There's a lot of people that were in jobs in whether it be Cork, Limerick, Dublin or abroad, and you know, who may originally be from Kerry and they want to move back. And, you know, we feel we're a very attractive prospect for them because we are offering that level of work, that level of, you know, whether it be training or you know, experience or whatever else. But in a place that's more rural, we'll say, than what they or where they may have been before.
And are you getting, do you find that you're getting people from Kerry who are saying, yes, this is an opportunity, I want to go, I didn't think I'd have that opportunity in a place like Tralee or a town the size of Tralee?
Yeah, and it's probably a bit of an ire with our Cork friends, but the office is primarily you know, with people from all over the place, but there's a lot of Kerry people here, which is which is great.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, listen, Tommy, look, thanks very much for talking to us about it, and good luck with today. I know the official ribbon cutting is around 11:15 with the Minister of Jack Timbers. When we talk to him in a moment, and we'll talk more about Arbitus, but thanks for telling us the story so far.
Great, thanks, Jerry. Thanks.
There you go. There's tax partner with Arbitus, Tommy Walsh, with us on the line in our studio, in our new studio here for the morning in Arbitus in Tralee. He is part of the team here that have developed this fantastic building, these fantastic offices. We're talking about, of course, Arbitus, and the person I have in the chair across me now is the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers. He's here to do the official opening of Arbitus. Minister, good morning to you. Welcome to Kerry.
Good morning, Jerry. Great to be here.
You're opening up this office here, and this is, it's a very positive story of the type of company that it is, a professional services company. Normally, when you think about this, you think about the big four, the Deloittes and the others like KPMGs and all that. Dublin, London based. Here's a company being able to do it and expand and grow in Tralee.
Absolutely. And if you think of legal, HR and tax services, I think it speaks to the wider economic growth story in Ireland. This isn't only concentrated in Dublin or in the big cities. We're seeing huge growth in business in the southwest of the country. And that obviously needs to be complemented with professional services firms, 50 jobs. I think it reflects the broader growth story of the last number of years and the potential of the next number of years. I said here for Arbitus this morning, also going to Estelis, which has a huge ambition to grow, massive increase in a number of jobs, and meeting with Tralee Chamber as well for their lunch, where there's big ambition in the southwest to continue to grow. And I think that speaks to the wider economic success story and the reason why professional services jobs like this can be embedded here in our regions, and something that we want to really do as a government, rebalance overall regional
development. Will you continue to support that, particularly the regeneration? It's been one of the criticisms that for too long, town centres, even in Tralee or smaller towns, have been left idle. The over-the-shop, either offices or living situation, isn't being transformed quickly enough from a housing, but also from an office point of view.
Yeah, so look, there's been a lot of work being done by the Department of Housing to see how we can address that issue, like too much dereliction, hollowed out town centres. The Urban Regeneration Development Fund sought to try to drive that and build better urban regeneration. We've also tried to look at the broader supports and grants that are available to try and incentivise the above the shop living, and that's something we're continuing to work on as a government.
Okay, can I talk to you about just the budget and finance in general for a moment? Interesting story in relation to your own department during the week in the Irish Daily Mail, and this was that the Department of Public Expenditure not able to track billions of euro being spent as it's being spent on individual government funded projects. And this is a concern, obviously, in relation to keeping an eye on costs, because we've seen a couple of projects that have gone badly out of hand over the last couple of years. What's your response to the concerns there? Is it really being stopped by GDPR concerns?
So I think some of the specific or personal data, legal advice would have been received prior to me entering office, or indeed prior to me being in government. It was in 2019 at the time.
Yeah.
But aggregated data is tracked by accounting officers or within certain departments or agencies. And I've been working with Albert Dolan, my Fianna Fáil colleague, on trying to strengthen transparency. Yeah, and
he's very concerned about it.
Yeah, but we do need to have better transparency on public spending. And one thing I've sought to do as Minister for Public Expenditure is to strengthen the overall public financial procedures which exist. And that's the judgment that people make when they maybe make a decision to proceed with a particular project. And we've had certain examples which I know have frustrated people across the country in terms of the spend on particular projects where it doesn't meet in some instances value for money, and that's why we need to strengthen the accountability but also the decision making that underpins a particular project, and that's balancing it against the need to drive greater delivery in other areas as well.
Is it frustrating for you as a minister or the ministers that at the moment it seems like you're being blindsided by these things, that nobody seems to know what's going on at the finer points of what's being spent month by month, and then all of a sudden it turns into a crisis?
Well, there is like the data is available within agencies or within particular departments. It's the aggregated nature of certain expenditure data is what was reflected, and the work that Albert Dolan is doing is seeking to bring greater transparency to that, which is important. But what I'd say is there is a need to strengthen the judgment or decision making around public financial procedures, and that's something we're working on as a government. We need to moderate overall current expenditure in terms of our economic management as well.
Okay, can you respond to me this morning on the concerns expressed by the Fiscal Advisory Council? You're spending like no tomorrow. You're basing everything, making the same mistakes as the past, basing everything on a somewhat uncertain tax intake and revenue intake for spending that you're doing. What's your response to what they're saying? They're sounding alarm bells.
There's two or three, response to that. First of all, I take their views very seriously, and that's why as a government we're trying to save for tomorrow and save for the future. It's why we'll run a general government surplus this year of up to €8 billion. It's why by the end of next year we'll have €24 billion set aside. And in fact, this government and the two parties which exist in this government and independents are when it comes to the opposition, they have a policy which is to spend everything tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're putting aside very strategically through the Future Ireland Fund and the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund billions of euro to make sure we mitigate the risk. Secondly, we're seeking to moderate overall current expenditure, and we're working on finalising a medium term fiscal plan which seeks to slow current expenditure in the medium term but also ramp up capital expenditure and infrastructure needs in the economy. And you're seeing the transport sectoral plan which was announced earlier on this week, and the benefits it will bring in bridging the infrastructure deficit in Kerry and other places, so we're responding to the concerns, and also
maybe not quickly enough for them. They're saying there's an underlying deficit of €7 billion. It'll be €14 billion next year, and if things go in a certain direction, like the United States has to refinance $10 trillion of finance next year at higher interest rates, big questions about the pressure it's going to put in that economy. That happens, shock around the world.
That's where the competitiveness of the Irish economy in the future is about bridging our infrastructure deficit, investing in talent, and driving delivery. And that's why it's not only about a discussion on expenditure, it's about reforming how we deliver infrastructure and transport and energy and housing. And that's why next week I'm publishing a reform plan on infrastructure delivery to cut the timelines that it takes to deliver a road project. You know, in Kerry and many other counties, people have seen projects on lists for too many years which haven't been delivered, and we want to cut through the bureaucracy, the process, the endless structures which don't yield delivery and don't provide that value add. So we take the concern seriously, but what I'd say is this government continues to run a surplus, continues to put aside billions of euro to protect Ireland's future, and the key aspect of our overall economic management is that we're putting a huge increase in expenditure on infrastructure delivery to bridge that gap, so we remain competitive to attract the likes of Astellas and others
and very important
into our
that
economy
is,
for the future.
And very welcome it is for areas like Kerry. Where do you stand though on the wider question on services and current spending on services? People want more services, they want better public services, but that takes a lot of money. There's a balance there of how do you raise revenue for that money in terms of taxation.
Yeah, but it's
also, and where do you stand on that debate? Like, if you want better services, you may have to increase taxes to pay for those services rather than what's happening.
Well, that's why we had a very, if you look at our overall tax package this year, we didn't cut income taxes. We prioritised any adjustment in taxation around the enterprise economy and also driving housing delivery, and that's why there was adjustment to VAT for housing and for business. Yeah. And that's why we prioritised current expenditure. We know there's huge demand and pressures in our health services. I work with my colleague Minister Foley on strengthening the response in terms of disability services, but it's also at outputs and how we have public service reform, so the quantum of expenditure that we place into the Irish economy yields the value
more.
And delivers more. And it's not only a binary discussion of how much we should spend. I know people that want services might hear high level figures about how much is being spent, but unless the service improves for them and the outputs improve, that's my focus as Minister for Public Expenditure. The reform element of my brief and how we improve and the delivery of those services is as important as the discussion of how much more we allocate.
Are you getting good cooperation from the trade unions on that reform?
Absolutely. Well, everyone wants to see better outputs, and I think if we want to, you know, protect the long-term future of the Irish economy, we have to look at organisational reform, we have to look at the overall reform agenda and how we deliver services. And, you know, members of the trade union movement are also citizens that live in our communities who want to see improvements in service delivery as well. Yeah. So I've had no pushback in that wider reform agenda.
Okay, final question for you on it, and it, this goes to the biggest issue for your government and probably what it'll be judged on is that delivery of housing. We had a round the doll, as we always have in relation to housing, Sinn Féin criticising ye of driving up rents and not doing enough for renters, people, younger people leaving the country because they don't see a future where they can buy their own home with the jobs that they have here, even though the economy is going well from that point of view. What's your response to that, and your response to the figures which show that changes introduced by previous governments coming into force on the 1st of March would mean landlords are leaving the market and maybe even less rental accommodation available?
So Minister Brown has responded that there are some landlords, there's always some attrition in the rental market, but there's also increasing number of tenancies that are, so there's replacement of tenancies that are exited, there's tenancies being created. But again, it goes back to your question on expenditure. So the policy levers for government, one element is obviously expenditure, but also how we look at taxation and regulation in the Irish economy. And what we've sought to do is fund up to 12,000 social homes per year, which provides for many people waiting on our housing list, 15,000 affordable homes per year in the housing plan, but also enabling a market that can function, that can deliver overall housing supply. And that's why we've made changes around VAT and when it comes to delivery of apartments. So we narrow the viability gap so there's more private development happening. So people, young people who are working, working hard and giving them their route, that route to buy and own their own home, and increasing overall housing supply is the route to rebalancing the...
Will you be able to speed up delivery on that finally though? The regulation, the judicial reviews, the planning
we
system...
Have to cut. People are so frustrated with this. And as a government, what I'll be publishing next week is to cut a lot of the bureaucracy, but also rebalance rights in the context of judicial reviews. There's too many narrow interests blocking important infrastructure and housing in so many counties across the country. And ultimately, that needs rebalancing. And for too many of them, it's become an endless delay tactic, undermining the overall housing interests and overall economic interests of our country.
Okay. Minister Jack Chambers, thanks very much for taking time to talk this morning. And enjoy the rest of your day in Kerry. That's Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers. We're here at the offices of Orbitus in Tralee. Just to let you know, I have a competition I will let you know about shortly as well. A chance for you to win tickets to a gala that is coming up on the programme too. But first of all, as I said, we're going to speak more now in relation to Orbitus because we have two of the principal partners here, Mike Stack, who's head of innovation at Orbitus, and Jennifer Downing, who's a senior manager here at Orbitus. Good morning to both of you and thanks for talking to us on the programme. Jennifer, if we can start with you, following on from, I suppose, what Tommy talked about, this is a great day for the company and all really you've achieved over the last number of years with the official opening of these new offices.
Yeah, good morning, Gerry. We are delighted to be joining you here from our new premises in the heart of Tralee, and following on a bit from maybe the comments that you've had there, this is Kerry business and Kerry people investing in Kerry. That's what today represents for the principals of Orbitus. We've expanded our offering here in Kerry with this significant investment in the premises that you can see here and in our people. Tommy would have mentioned earlier that we now employ 50 plus people here in Tralee through our professional services offering, legal, taxation, HR, and our tech solutions collaboration with Stingray Labs that Mike will talk about in a short while. Orbitus itself was founded on being a solutions driven business for individuals and for the SME sector. So it was a place that you could go for your full suite of advice. It's legal, taxation. We have the addition of HR and obviously then our expansion into the Killarney area with Pat Sheehan and his team. So our key offering to Kerry business is a suite of professional advisors anchored in Kerry for Kerry business.
Yeah.
Our people are at the centre of what we do. We range from taxation qualified solicitors to HR advisors to commercial law, commercial property, private client litigation. The full suite of what a business in Kerry would need from a set of professional advisors. Our intention is to be able to wrap our arms around those clients and be able to provide the full suite of services that they would need.
Your managing partner here, when did you first realise I suppose that this was needed and that you could achieve this and kind of the vision for this office today and the size you've become now. When did that first hit? Yeah. And you could do it all here in a place like Tralee, a town the size of Tralee, a county like Kerry, yeah, rather than, you know, city-based bigger firms.
Absolutely. I suppose a lot of the people who are qualified in Orbitus might have qualified in larger firms in Dublin, yeah, Limerick or Cork. But what is kind of unique to the people that we have, and a lot of them are from, or actually even the people who are working in Cork, we have an awful, very strong Kerry bias almost in our staff. But it is the intention that you can go and qualify anywhere, but you bring your knowledge and you bring your service back to where you started from, and you can offer that quality of advice and have that level of work that you are interested in right in the heart of Kerry. So we started in Kerry very small. It was really first the addition of Tommy Walsh joined us, yeah, and then Mike Stack joined the group, but little by little we started to realise that in the Kerry business area, a lot of you know, the full suite of services wasn't obvious. It, you know, that those services are available, but you know, we are able to offer it in one place. So the need to take your professional advisory from Dublin, from Limerick, from, yeah, Cork,
you brought it within reach, really, within for reach. Companies and individuals,
exactly, with a suite of professionals gathered together from various professional services under one roof in Tralee.
Yeah. Okay, Mike Stack, good morning to you. You're head of Asian, you're a solicitor by trade. You came on board, you've been on the journey with this company as well. So it's a great day for you and everyone here. Tell me about, I suppose, that interaction between the solutions you provide, the tax advice, the HR, the accounting, all of those sort of things, and the innovation space, how technology is helping clients.
Yeah, I suppose, Gerry, AI is the topic of choice that is prevalent in every conversation at the moment, not just its impact on how professional advisory services are delivered, but on the access to information that the client has at their own disposal. Yeah. So any industry, you have to move with what's going on around you. If you're not prepared to advance yourselves, then you'll be bypassed. And I think the key thing about Jennifer and her leadership to date is she's always been, has the foresight to see that if you're not ahead of the game, you know, you will be left behind.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's where my role kind of germinated from. It was to see, okay, how do we deploy technology to ensure that we can deploy the best available services to our clients? That then started out with interaction with Brian Stevenson, and then that germinated into Stingray Labs, which is a venture builder which builds solutions for the legal industry in order to bring it up to speed, really, with what's available. And Orbitus then has been able to leverage into that digital solution by being able to deploy those solutions for the benefit of the numerous clients that we do have. I think, Robert, going back to the AI piece, and I know that you're a big proponent of the AI solutions in what's available. What is out there is vast. You know, but like everything else, it's how you approach it and how you deal it and how you adapt it will determine whether it will work for you or whether it won't work for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're trying to grow here, is almost like a centre of excellence for innovation in professional services to meet not just our Kerry clients and our Tralee-based clients, but any client that is looking for services. So I think we're reverse engineering that deployment, that people don't go to large consultancies in Dublin or London for their advices. They can come here,
yeah,
because you have both the ability, you have the professionalism, and equally importantly, you've got the drive to deliver those services without having to pay for a waterfall in the atrium.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
It kind of kicks into that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all, as you said, Jennifer, it's all under one roof. Like one of the areas, and we talked to Minister for Public Spending Reform, Jack Chambers, here about it, probably the biggest challenge for this government is the delivery of housing. You represent, you work for, and you provide services for builders and developers. They're always trying to get past hurdles. So that's part of the work that you do to help them deliver housing quicker.
That's it. I mean, it's the intention is that when you come to us, if there are, you know, there's a solution to every problem, because we can cover you from every area, whether it's from finance to planning to innovation in how, we'll say, the developers are working on communicating with the ultimate purchasers, which kind of brings us back to the collaboration that we have with Stingray Labs, which is at this point the main project we have is called Beam. And Beam is a digital platform for first-time buyers in the purchase of their house. So the intention is that we can advise clients from anywhere. A lot of our clients in that base would be first-time buyers in the, a lot of them would be in the Dublin market. It's about speeding up how, as much as we possibly can within the constraints of
regulation,
how much we can help them to get into that house faster. You know, and that is a lot of the tech side of what we have led here, is how much of this, how much of that long, cumbersome journey can we help them on and cut out little pieces little by little. Maybe truncate that journey from 10 weeks to 7 weeks. So a lot of work has gone in, and then that has a reflective value on the other side of Orbit is where we act with developers.
We're hearing a lot now from the political sphere and the government about they're going to reduce barriers, get things happening quicker, you know, maybe remove or certainly speed up some of the planning steps that are done. So do you feel what you've designed here and what you're working on, you'll be able to adapt quickly to the new environment if it does get delivered by the politicians?
Absolutely, because the changes here aren't, it's not one big monumental change.
Yeah.
It's small changes, step by step.
Yeah.
So a piece on the planning process, a piece, you know, amendments to, you know, the regulations and what are exempt developments, all of those things, they're the things that really clog up the conveyancing process, and any of those small changes are what will help to deliver housing faster to people.
Okay, all right, stay with me. We're going to talk a bit more with Jennifer and with Mike. If you have a view on what we're talking about here and the sort of services that are provided, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Lots of your comments to get to as well. We'll get more with Orbitus after we take these. We're talking now about Orbitus because that's why we're here in their brand new offices in Tralee Central Plaza, and talk about the regeneration as well as the expansion of the company and the company that has been expanding. We were talking to Jennifer and Mike there about the technical side of it. We're going to talk now about the other side of the company, and that side of the company which is based at, and it's not just here in Tralee, of course, they've opened in Killarney now as well with that merger, and they also have developed as well quite strongly over the last number of years in Cork. So that's all part of it. As I said, if you have any views or comments in relation to it, get in touch with us in the programme on 066 7123 666. We've got Ben Hardy with us, who is in charge of the Cork side of the operation. He's an Australian but has moved to Ireland, not going the other way. And we also have Jennifer O'Brien, who's Orbitus Recruitment and Talent Strategy Manager. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for joining us in the programme. Ben, look, we try and keep talk of Cork to a minimum here in Radio Kerry, but seriously, it's a key part of what the company offers. Tell me about the development in Cork over the last number, how important it is for you as a company.
Well, look, I suppose the origins of the firm are in Cork.
Yeah.
The move into the Kerry market was a good few years ago as well, but its original formation was in Cork. So it's always been a bit of a home for the organisation, but always with a view to looking for expansion, particularly around Munster, because that's where the heart and soul of the organisation is.
Yeah.
In terms of the growth of the place, you know, I came into the firm towards the end of 2022, I think it was. And in that time, I've kind of stopped keeping track of the number of new heads because it's grown at such a rate of knots, you know, and not just in terms of the traditional legal practice, but in terms of the expansion with what's going on the Beam side of the house, and also in with the addition of Jen O'Brien into the HR advisory space as well.
Yeah, because that's been an expansion as well. How has Cork been going in terms of new developments? I mean, housing trends, the development of as a region, like if you take Cork and Kerry together, it's the southwest together in terms of its growth. What's that been like?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of pressure on most markets across the country, I think, not least in Cork. A lot of movement and progress happening in and around the cities. Suburbs like Ballincollig and Carrigaline in particular have seen huge booms around there, but also a good bit of regeneration in some of those more inner city, particularly on the north side of the city as well, and south side too. There's a large development that's been announced just near Musgrave Park, where a lot of people would be familiar with. So it's a nice mix of the kind of more urbanised sections of the county and also out into the suburbs and further out into the countryside.
Yeah, and there's been an increase in connectivity between the county with development of the new road as well, cutting travel times.
Absolutely,
for people
absolutely. That was one of the more enjoyable features of my experience here, is hearing the amount of chat about that new road.
Yeah.
I felt like it dominated the city conversation for the better part of 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, certainly did. And it's helped. Jennifer Ryan, tell me about, I suppose the development of, I suppose, the HR side of it, the recruitment and talent strategy of a company like this.
Absolutely. So I suppose there's two arms to the HR aspect of Orbitus. So of course we have our internal HR where we support the team internally as we grow and expand, which has been rapidly as of recent. We've doubled our numbers, which is amazing. So we have a large team across Cork and Kerry. So we've have to support that talent strategy, I suppose, across both locations and three offices. And equally, we also offer an external HR service offering for our clients, which is a newer offering to Orbitus, and I suppose complements the legal and the tax services quite nicely. So I suppose our aim is to be professional services across the board and to be in a position to support organisations in the Southwest. Yeah. And I suppose from a local point of view, we have that knowledge that talent is available to companies locally.
You know all compliance, and that's the big thing, isn't it, for small companies who wouldn't have their own divisions. A lot has changed in the
Most
HR
definitely.
Legislation area in the last number of years.
100%, and is changing consistently. And there's a lot of new things coming into play. I know auto enrollment is probably one we might mention later on, is something that is extremely topical at the moment. You know, there's new things that have been introduced recently, like domestic violence leave, medical care leave, and companies, I suppose, that don't have a HR function maybe aren't best positioned to action that accordingly and need a little bit of help and guidance to get those things over the line. And I suppose that's where we can help and support for sure.
Yeah, and that's all part of it. Ben, can you talk to me about, I suppose, the element of like, you've moved to Cork as a professional, work with a company like this, that element of quality of life and professional growth outside of Dublin that we're seeing here in Tralee, but also in Cork. What's that been like for the last number of years?
Yeah, look, I can speak to my own experience that way. I had worked in a couple of large law firms in Sydney, and I suppose expected moving over here that I would be looking in Dublin. And to say I was delighted to not have to go through that experience is an understatement. I have a great little life for myself in Cork. I can walk into the city centre in about 15 minutes and get around in a way that it just wouldn't have been possible in a place like Dublin without sacrificing the quality of the work. Because for professional services, there is absolutely good work to be had and found in the smaller cities and towns around the country. You just need to be able to find them. And I suppose some of them also need to get themselves out there a little bit more and make themselves known that you don't need to be in Dublin to get good work.
And are we seeing a trend in that, Jennifer, people moving, skilled people moving from the larger cities to places in the Southwest?
Definitely. I think the trend is there, certainly in the kind of, I suppose, younger professional who maybe has served their time in a traineeship or internship or graduate program and, I suppose, is considering their lifestyle and their cost of living in Dublin and everything like that. And is, I suppose, are thinking about that move maybe closer to home, to be nearer family, you know, things like weddings, babies, all of that, and needing more support as life milestones hit. Obviously, from a quality of life, community perspective, Kerry is fantastic in that sense. We have a number of people in the office here who have come to us from international settings, but equally people who have moved home and who have really benefited from that move home. I'm based in Cork myself, but I'm a Tralee woman, and it's great to have the opportunity to actually spend more time in Kerry and that as well.
And always the situation with regards to that element of trying to sell a company to somebody from a HR point of view or to attract talent, that's important.
It absolutely is. So employer branding is a big topic at the moment. And I think across the board, there's a lot of smaller SMEs who maybe don't utilise their brand as an employer and what they have to offer. And certainly, I think for us in Orbitus and Fritus, and for many of our clients, the opportunity to live in Kerry, to build a life here, similarly in Cork, you know, I suppose costs of living are massively decreased outside of Dublin. Commute times, etc. It's building all of that into your employer brand and sharing we're a great place to work, but also there are other benefits of working regionally too.
And do you see the company expanding that side of things, HR, and the innovation side of it as well?
Definitely.
Like everything else
across the board. So I suppose from a HR point of view, we're very much in startup mode at the moment. There's a lot done, there's a lot more to do. We certainly have to expand outwards in terms of service offerings, our team support that we can provide to various clients. Equally, innovation is a big part of that across the business. I think you can see that with Beam. It's certainly a step forward, and I suppose it's a way of working for us, is always thinking about innovation and how can we move forward and be the best version of ourselves, embracing AI that we have to do or we'll be left behind and all of that.
Okay, Ben, where do you see things going for the Cork side of the operation in the next few years?
Look, from the legal practices perspective, so I head up the commercial team, and we're seeing a great shift in generational mentality, I suppose. There's a lot of people that have got very successful locally owned businesses that are starting to think, what happens next?
Yeah.
They may be hitting an age where they need to start thinking about succession planning, and that is starting to become a very active kind of space. So
yeah,
I would expect that's going to continue as people look to either pass to the next generation within the family business, or, you know, to non-family members that are existing within the business, and how they can best facilitate that movement in the kind of I don't do this work myself, but more into the property section, that's going to continue to boom. Property and housing is going to continue to be a serious pressure point for all parties. And then the last thing is infrastructure, but that is a far bigger conversation. But one that needs to continue.
Yeah. Well, listen, look, I thank both of you for talking to me on the program this morning, and for coming in and telling the story of the company from your side of it. Ben, who wants it to be known that he's from Sydney, not Melbourne, and it's a much better city, much like the Cork Dublin debate. And Jennifer, look, thanks so much for talking to Jennifer Bryan, Head of HR, Ben Hardy, Orbitus Cork Offer Partner and Head of Commercial. Thanks for talking to me, and good luck with the rest of the company and its development.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Emil.
Brilliant stuff. Great stuff. We'll have more from Orbitus here. We'll have more on the sentencing of Billy Burns as well, the news coming through this morning. We'll get to that after we take these.
Kerry Today, live from the brand new offices of Orbitus, located at Tralee Plaza, providing the Kerry business community with integrated tax, legal and HR services from the heart of Tralee. Orbitus.ie.
We're here live at Orbitus' new offices in the old Guinness building in Tralee, totally regenerated, and 50 jobs and expanding at a rate of knots, as we've talked about with the company this morning. With me in our impromptu studio here at the Outside Broadcast Unit is Fianna Fáil councillor Mikey Sheehy. Mikey, good morning to you. Look, this is a huge success story for the company, but also for Tralee as a destination, as a place where you can develop something like this.
Absolutely, Gerry. And first of all, I want to thank the Orbitus team, Tommy, Mike, the entire crew here this morning, for giving Tralee such a huge endorsement. Not only Tralee, but Kerry, a huge endorsement. I suppose it's a massive commitment by Orbitus. We're inside in a 5,000 square foot space. From what I'm hearing, this is phase one of a bigger picture plan, which again is going to give a huge boost to footfall in the middle of Tralee Town Centre. I suppose it's an endorsement of Tralee Town and Kerry on a number of fronts. It's an endorsement of an educated workforce. It's an endorsement of Tralee Town Centre. It's an endorsement of our Kerry lifestyle. And it's, I suppose it's also an endorsement of that competitive edge that we have down below here in Kerry.
Yeah.
And like I said, that commitment, it sends out a clear message. It sends out a clear message that now Tralee is a centre for opportunity and growth. We're no longer on the periphery. And an investment like this by Orbitus, I suppose it allows people to stay in Tralee, to retain themselves in Tralee. It also allows people to travel back home and makes Tralee more attractive to individuals who maybe have travelled abroad for further opportunities. And that now allows people to build careers in our town. So look, it's a huge commitment. I want to thank Mike, Tommy, the entire team for both the commitment and the opportunity to come here this morning. This space is incredible. It really and truly is a modern office space in Tralee Town Centre. 5,000 square feet is a ferocious size. It's a heavy commitment. And like I said, I'm just delighted to be here this morning. And
should
there's
we
a
see
lot
more
of smiling
of it
faces.
Maybe? More regeneration?
Yeah, absolutely.
With help from the government?
Absolutely. And it's all about that key focus as a councillor and a public rep here in Tralee. I'd be very vocal in terms of how we can attract people to the likes of Tralee and Kerry and these larger urban centres. Kerry, like we, our phrase is, Kerry is a super place to live, to work and to visit. And I suppose we have very unique and hard to beat selling points in terms of a large urban centre. You're looking at shorter commutes, you're looking at a lower cost of living in comparison to large urban centres and cities. You've that sense of community that we have here in Kerry and in Tralee. You've the quality of coastal life, the likes of you can climb a mountain, jump in a lake, as Christy Moore used to say. You know, we have all of those on our doorstep. And I suppose it's been a part of our Kerry brand here as well. And I suppose that work-life balance, Gerry, has become key in terms of people's mindsets. Obviously graduates, even people progressing through their careers, that are now looking at that work-life balance and what we can offer here in Tralee and Kerry I think it's hard to beat.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Just wanted to mention as well on the programme this morning, all at Austin Stacks Ladies Club, we're very saddened to hear the passing of former three-time Senior County Championship winner, Senior All-Ireland winner and All-Star Eileen Mangan Ní O'Conor. Eileen, a trailblazer for ladies football in the Austin Stacks, lining out for the very first LGFA club team in 1975. She was a member of the first ever Senior County Championship winning team in 77. Also winning the County Championship medals in 79 and 82. She had the honour of becoming Kerry's first All-Star when she was named at fullback on the 1980 selection, where she was also joined by centre half forward Eileen Lawler and of course Mary Jo Curran. She's remembered by her teammates for her athleticism, loyalty, humour and fearlessness on the field. Off the pitch, she maintained great and lasting friendships with many of her teammates from those early club days, to her husband Aidan, former club player, and her children Rory, Cahill, Orla and extended family, including her brother-in-law Austin Stacks GAA club officer Colin Mangan. We extend our sincere sympathy. May Eileen rest in peace.